Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore. It's Preakness Week. I got a little extra bounce in my step. I'm going to shave up, put my jacket on, look all pretty. Then on Tuesday, we'll all get together up in Falston where all the horses are. We'll be at the local doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, all presented by the Maryland Lottery. I have these instant lottery scratch-offs. It's a throwback from the 50th anniversary, the first ever scratch-offs. They've been lucky. I've had a lot of winners. I mean, we had winners at Fadley's. We had winners at Captain Larry's. I had winners the crab race this week down at Lexington Markets. We are giving away some tickets. We'll be giving those away in Falston. Also, our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. It's 5 years, 0% financing, putting us on the road for the Maryland Crab Cake Tour and many, many crab cakes and oysters. And when I get a little thirsty this time of year, some beer to wash it all down. We'll be doing that. I tell you what, it's Saturday. It is the 148th running. I know that because John Wade had a P148 behind him all night on Monday night. I got to hang out with this guy a little bit and all sorts of my track dogs. I mean, GQ, the great Gary Quill, was in the house reminding me that I once gave him my Alex Lifeson red jacket that he wears every Preakness. So if you see a guy wearing the red jacket from Alex Lifeson's Exit Stage Left video of 1981, it is Gary Quill. This guy has been doing racing here for a couple of weeks. If you tune in on a Saturday morning, you hear our golf guys from Charlotte from 8 till 10. And then Frank brings a very, very local flavor to what's going on here in Maryland. He was a part of the John Waite and the post position draw. And I only had one beer, although it was a lovely, lovely evening out in Halethorpe, where they brought the ponies together. How are you, Frank Vespi? A pleasure to have you on. Always a pleasure to have you on Saturday mornings as well around here. And I know you're following the horses a lot more than just this Saturday here.
I am. Thanks for having me on, Nestor. I appreciate it. And it was good to see you last night. How, did you guys enjoy John Waite? You seem like you were into it.
Better to see my wife always than me. And everyone points that out. But yes, John Waite was great. You know, I'm going to have David on from the Thoroughbred folks who put the event together. I saw politicians. I saw horse racing people. But I saw something that, look, you're an old schooler like me, and you know, you can give everybody your background and your credibility in the horse racing space, but it's like I told Marty McGee this morning. It's like I'm going to tell Dick Girardi, and Bob Baffert texts me five times from the post position draw Monday night apologizing that he's not coming on this year because he comes on every year. But there are those of you who live this, and it's a hard life and it's a hard business, and everything all of my lifetime feels like it's stacked against the race, the Preakness, horse racing, doping, the problems you have at Churchill, purses, Triple Crown, no one else but Mage coming to the race. But on Monday night, I get all wistful again. I see a dude dressed as a legitimate black-eyed Susan, which was hilarious. and I get the spirit of what, and I'm doing the crab, I'm the honorary ambassador, crab jockey, whatever the hell that is. I'm at Fadley's on Wednesday this week. Man, I want the, I'm Baltimore positive. I like Monday nights with John Waite where people can come out and celebrate Preakness nights.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, as you said, there are a lot of issues facing racing, a lot of issues facing Maryland racing in particular, but this time of year, this moment, this week is a time to celebrate and a time to be positive. And, you know, it's a great race. It's got a great history, a great tradition behind it, and people enjoy it. Not, you know, people in Baltimore, people in Maryland, but also horsemen coming in from out of state. They always say, this is my favorite of the Triple Crown races.
Baffert
this
has
is the
said
one.
That to me for 25 years, yep. And he literally means it. He's like, we come in, people are nice to us, we get a crab cake, it's manageable. You know, it doesn't feel like the Derby is just, have you been to the Derby?
I've been several times, and the first time I went, I said, this is the greatest thing I've ever done. I got to do this every year. And I did it like three or four more times. And by the end, I was like, I don't need to do this ever again. I mean, the Preakness is the best of the three Triple Crown races, in my opinion, as a guy who attended for years as a fan and a bettor and now work at it. But it has, as you were saying, it's got a more relaxed vibe. It's not quite as chaotic as the Kentucky Derby. You know, in days like today, you know, or earlier this week, before it gets even more chaotic, early in the week is so great to be out on the backside because people are relaxed. You get to talk to the connections. They're just kind of hanging out. They don't have a lot to do. It's just a nice vibe. And so I'm a fan of the Preakness.
Well, give everybody your background in horse racing and how you get to this and get to this honestly. And then, I went down the backstretch and around five turns with Marty McGee earlier this week about the Baltimore Sun in the 1980s and Charlie Ekman and Chris Thomas and Andy Beyer and Clem Florio and just all of that means a lot to me. The race means a lot to me. And I've seen all aspects of everything sort of deteriorate while I've spent this week talking to the Randy Mosses and the Donna Brothers and the, on and on and on, trying to breathe a little life and a little interest into it outside of the people that are already interested. And you're obviously very vested, very interested. Your show airs here each and every week. But give me a little flyover for your interest in it, what keeps you going, and how my audience may be engaged this week to fall in love with it either for the first time or all over again.
Well, so I started in racing as an adult as just a gambler. I liked betting on the horses. I learned from an older relative who kind of taught me the lay of the land, and we started coming. We went to Saratoga together. Then we started going to the Preakness together, and so I started that way. And then maybe about 10, 12 years after that had started, my wife came to me one day, and we had gone to the Kentucky Derby, and she enjoyed it, and she handed me like a prospectus to own a piece of a racehorse, and said, "What do you think about this?" And I looked at it, and it was manageable price. I said, "Okay, sure, let's try it." And from there, I gradually lost my mind, and started
I've done that with
to.
Pacifica Rock belt buckles. You can ask anyone. So yeah, it's possible. I lost my mind with baseball and football and hockey and sports and radio. I mean, once you die, but that's life, right? You want to be passionate about something,
Passionate about
right?
things,
Like literally.
and then so I started running some racing partnerships, and as I was doing that, I was watching and the Washington Post and the Baltimore Sun were pulling away from covering racing, and it was kind of disappearing on TV. And I said, there's a niche here, like to cover sort of mid-Atlantic horse racing. There's tons of racing in Maryland, West Virginia, Virginia, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, and nobody's covering it. Like the mainstream media has pulled away from racing everywhere, and the racing media here in the racing media just doesn't pay much attention to the mid-Atlantic because the bigger races are New York and Kentucky and whatever. And so then I started the Racing Biz about 10 years ago, which the racingbiz.com is the website. And we've always had a radio show in Virginia. This year we added one here on Baltimore Positive on your show, on your station, Off to the Races every Saturday at 10. So I've been sort of involved in a serious way in racing for about 20 years now.
All right, so you're involved in racing, you do the show, and what does this week mean? And for me, having monitored Spend a Buck at the beginning of my media career in 1985, and
That's
Dick
quite a
Girardi's
one
good.
to have monitored as a first one.
Well, Dick Girardi, is also, going to be on this week talking about how that got him to Philadelphia Park and, all of the Baltimore guy, the whole better on the backside, the whole deal. That all these years later, the Preakness still sits here, and sort of the original sin of the modern era is no horseman worth his salt really wants to run his horse in 2 weeks anymore. Whereas you used to get these maidens and claimers, and you'd run these horses 15, 20, 25 times a year back in the day. $5 million horses and stake owners and all these people that put all this money in on $1 million horses, they don't want horses injured. They don't want, and obviously, the animal rights folks are very, very involved in the industry, as they were the greyhounds, as they have been with the circus and other industries that involve these creatures. You obviously love these creatures. My wife loves these creatures. I was with Ross Petticord the other. Everyone loves the creatures, right? But bringing the creatures to Preakness, shipping them, running them in 14 days is just something that doesn't smell good to a lot of people.
I think you're right about that. And I wrote about this a year ago on the Racing Biz. That look, 50 years ago, which is approximately when they sort of solidified this schedule of the Triple Crown races,
And they did it for Howard Cosell,
I
right?
did not know that.
Well, no, they did it for ABC. They did it for television. They did it to have something that would get people back
Something it
every
could
couple
sell.
weeks. I mean, it was a sellable, the Triple Crown. It, you know, hey, man, basketball's not caught on. Hockey's right. nothing. There's no March Madness,
yeah, sure.
right? Let you know, baseball's October, Super Bowls. Let's own something. Let's own. Yeah, Masters is over. Let's own 6 weeks of television. I mean, come on. That's how – this was a Rune Arledge – it has to be, right? I mean, why
it
else
makes
would
sense.
You do that?
I hadn't heard it or thought of it, but
the only reason I know
sense.
Of racing really is a kid was secretary in 73. Seattle Slew affirmed Aladar Spectacular. You can go through those names, right? I was 6, 8, 10, 11, 12 years old, and it's fed me for a lifetime that I'm interested in it, but other people aren't. The people, I mean, it's, you know how it is. It's this thick and this wide, and not, we used to be every Oriole fan, every Colt fan was all into the Preakness, 120,000 strong going out there. Right. I don't look, I wonder this with the Orioles all the time. You know, how it comes back and how it got away, but when you don't bring the best horses here, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, this is an issue. And what I was going to say is, like, you know, that schedule was perfectly attuned to the way people handled horses 50 years ago. When Secretariat won the Preakness, he had run the Gotham, then 2 weeks later, the Wood Memorial, 2 weeks later, the Kentucky Derby, 2 weeks later, the Preakness. That's what you did with a good horse. You ran them. Now you don't. Now none of these horses will have raced in less than 4 or 5 weeks between starts until this race. And that makes it hard. It's going to be hard to convince a lot of horsemen that this is a good thing to do, to come back on 2 weeks rest when they've never done it with their horses before. And then, as you reference, you got all the animal rights issues. You've got this sort of white hot public scrutiny of the sport. We got to be doing everything we can to not just take care of the animals, which most horsemen do a tremendous job of, but to demonstrate to the public that we're taking care of the animals. And I just don't know that this schedule doesn't jive with how people handle horses anymore. I don't know that it jives with what the kind of treatment people expect from us now.
I've seen so many written things, Frank, about, you know, not just this is how to redivide and redistribute the American League East or the NFL and, you know, what division you need to be in. But there's no sanctioning body for this in that way. And this was really the Achilles heel. When the liquor companies got together and the industry got together back in the 80s on Visa, putting money together to say, all right, we're going to over incent you to win a Triple Crown and to not race at the winner of the Derby at the Preakness, because there'll be a whole lot more money in it for you if you get involved in all three races. To your point, there's no outrageously incentive. Like, let's say the Live Golfer guys, where you're just being overpaid to a ridiculous amount of money to maybe risk your animal or your ownership stake in the animal or to win the glory of the Triple Crown, whatever that value may be at this point. Now, you can ask Bob Baffert the value of, you know, American Pharoah versus Big Brown or Smarty Jones or horses that didn't get there at the Belmont, right?
Yep.
But to rethink this for the, dare I say that I would use a baseball idiom, for the good of the game. You know, I mean, is there really anybody, there is no sanctioning body, not even a Don King, to sort of put it together and say, hey, man, let's be reasonable about this. And why is that? Why can't everybody sort of come together and find all the money and bring it all in-house? Because, I mean, Churchill's fighting with Baffert, right? Like, it is one big game of everybody fights with everybody.
Yeah, who's zoom and who. It's amazing. Like, when you talk to people, I remember when I first started getting involved talking to somebody, and I was saying, well, see, the horsemen and the breeders hate each other, and then everybody hates the track. And they were kind of looking at me like, are you on another planet? These are all the same people. I'm like, yeah, but they all hate each other. And
To them. I walked all the stalls, right? I mean, literally,
yeah,
right?
And racing is just like, you know, you got one issue, which is that it's state by state regulation. So that's had, you know, certain impacts on the way tracks are owned and operated. But then you just have this sort of history where they're all their own islands doing their own thing. And look, to your point, you were talking about the Visa, the Triple Crown series, the bonus money that was attached to it. We can't even manage that anymore. We can't get the Triple Crown tracks to work together on anything anymore. I remember having this conversation, I think last year, about the timing of the races, and I said I think the Preakness should be at least a week later, maybe 2 weeks later than it is. And the response was, well, NYRA, who owns the Belmont, they're not going to move, so you're kind of stuck there. It's kind of like,
Can I
shouldn't
ask you
people
this? Because
work
I'm a
together to?
traditional sports fan, right? Like,
Yep.
I'm a football fan, you're a football fan, right? For all of the nonsense with Dan Snyder, or even what Pisciotti's done to me, or what, Mark Davis did in Vegas, or what any of these creeps do, it all sort of goes to Roger Goodell, right? And then Roger Goodell makes decisions along with these white men to have a draft here, have a Super Bowl there, cut the pie. Fight with the Players Association, but there's very little doubt who really runs it. And in that sport, I wouldn't even say media runs it because they run the media, right? Like whether it's Amazon or YouTube or Fox TV or what, yeah, they're pulling
Oh,
all
sure.
this money in, but you at least see where the power is. And whether it's good or bad, right or wrong, evil or kind, you sort of at least know it goes to these rich white guys and Roger. There's one person. I'd say a sanctioning body. Same thing with baseball with Rob Manfred, whether it's all the owners or whatever. In horse racing, there's never been that. I'm just asking you, as the expert who does a show here on Saturday morning from 10 to 11, who really runs it? I mean, like, who really is the guy? Is it Churchill? Is it NYRA? Is it Bob Baffert? Is it television? Is it whoever writes the biggest check? And I don't know if that's Yum. I don't even know. I don't know if it's a car brand. Like, who bets the biggest on not bettors, but who's all in on this that could bring three or four people or five people into a room and say, we really control this. Let's figure it out, even if we hate each other. Because it always seems to me that it feels like it has to go that direction. It's what killed boxing. You know what I mean? Like, and it's the sports, it's what's killed baseball, is that the players and the owners have hated each other for 80 years and can't. That's why the stadiums are empty. Now they're all making money. So they sleep better, but it hasn't made for a better game.
Yeah, no, it's a good question, and that's really it's a big issue in racing, is that it is to a large extent a rudderless ship, and so there are more. It's more like there are power centers. So Churchill is a power center. They own multiple tracks. They own the Kentucky Derby, which is the most important event. The Stronach Group, which owns Laurel and Pimlico, is a power center. They own the Preakness. They also own Gulfstream Park in Santa Anita in California. The Breeders' Cup is a
I
power
lose
center.
track
The
of that.
Jockey
Hang on a
Club.
second. Let me cut you off with that with Stronach. So Stronach, if he's not a king, he's a queen, but he's not a pawn, and he's not a rook or a bishop, right? I mean, like as far as power brokers, he's in that conversation for real. I
The
just want to make
Stronach
that
Group.
clear
Yeah,
that.
yeah, yeah. I mean, Frank is largely out of the family business now. It's his daughter Belinda, but they're in these conversations. I mean, a major reason, for example, that there was a federally created Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Authority, which is going to oversee drugs and stuff. A major reason that came to be is the Stronach Group put some weight behind it.
So keep
And
going. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I'm like,
no,
I don't
just.
think I think of them as being further down the pecking order so much that the Preakness does kind of get screwed a little bit. You know what I mean? Like if they
Well,
had more juice and more respect and more power, maybe they'd move this race to July and just say we'll be the third part. I don't. I'm making that up, but I don't know where this is, but it's not good enough right now. It's certainly not good enough to grow.
I think that, I can't speak for them, but I think they're trying to figure out what they want to do. Nestor, to be honest, and there's chatter that maybe they're getting out of the Maryland business altogether, or maybe they're pulling back and creating an opening for somebody else to run the tracks at least part of the year to race some of those dates. There's a lot of uncertainty in the industry
That wouldn't
right
be good for
now.
Maryland because we need somebody that is powerful, right? You don't want to lose your lobby and your interest in it. And certainly, when you talk about Santa Anita and Gulfstream, I've been to those places and they feel big. I mean, when you go to them, they feel like, okay, you should have some juice if you own these tracks to be able to at least manipulate your piece that makes this better for everybody, better for themselves, you know? And so give me, keep going. You have power brokers. I was going through all of this. I want to find out who are the gods.
Well, so you have the ones I mentioned. You got the Jockey Club, which is the breed registry. They're the ones who determine what is and is not a thoroughbred, and they keep the names and stuff. And then breeders. I think the interesting thing is, in certain respects, the breeders, and I don't mean like the Maryland breeders who breed a couple horses. I mean the big Kentucky breeders. There's a lot of money there, and there's a lot of power there. And a lot of the issues, a lot of issues in racing and the sales companies. That's the other one I should have mentioned. There are a couple of,
Well, anything that damages the sport damages their ability to make revenue, right? At that level. Because I'm
but
thinking, well, how are the breeders involved?
well,
Like,
what you get a little bit is the tragedy of the commons, because you've got, there are a lot of, as in a lot of things in life, there are short-term decisions you make that are good for you in the short term that have long-term consequences that are greater. And potentially damaging. And what we've seen, for example, over the years in terms of breeding is a shift away from breed to race, which is what most people used to do, to breed to sell. So now most breeders are breeding, not the local guys, but like the Kentucky farms, they're all breeding to sell those horses before they ever race. Well, that gets you to breeding a certain kind of horse with certain characteristics, for example, early to race. Able to win going 6 furlongs as a 2-year-old, which is fine, but it may not be the soundest model. It may not be the model that goes on farther. So you get a lot of kind of horse racing is very good at making short-term decisions and not necessarily considering the potential consequences down the road a piece. And so you get a lot of that. So there are these kind of different power centers. But there is no power. There is no Roger Goodell. There's no handful of guys who can make the decision and just say this is how it is because it's in all of our best interests.
Frank Vespi's here. He does a racing show here each and every Saturday from 10 to 11. I encourage everyone, if you love racing, you want to learn about racing a little bit, no, stay current on racing. We're staying current around here at WNSD and Baltimore Positive. You can check it out on the live stream and at AM 1570, Saturday, 10 to 11. You can also reach out to Frank and his crew for all things racing through that. So what's good about it? Tell me what's good about racing right now. I mean, this is your life and you love it and you're obviously very, very involved in it. We can see the problems in it. Saturday's what's good if the weather holds up right and it's a beautiful day out there and people have a good Bruno Mars and my wife gets to wear a hat. I mean, I love the Preakness.
Oh, it's a great event, and I think one of the things, look, I as I said, I came to racing through gambling. I think it's the greatest gambling game. If you like, like people like
Well, I
to
haven't figured
bet
out
on.
how to gamble on baseball yet, Frank. So,
Yeah, I mean, if people like to bet on sports, like horse racing is a better gambling game because when you learn to read the past performances, they tell you a story. It's a little like, if you talk to an accountant, he looks at a balance sheet and tells you a story from it, and you look at it and it's just like a bunch of numbers. That's what the past performances do. If you learn how to do it, it becomes the greatest gambling game. Plus, you're not gambling against the house, you're gambling against other morons like me. And so I always sort of feel like I can find enough morons to beat. I'm usually wrong about that, but I try to do
Girardi
it.
would always tell me back in the 80s and 90s, oh man, Preakness Day, it's when you clean up because the drunk people are betting.
Yeah, I mean,
Like
yeah.
you find
And you don't
value,
have a
they would
lot of
say, right?
days like that in racing anymore. So that's one thing that I love. Another thing that I really love about racing is it lives in this place where people and horses come together. And so it's not just about people and it's not just about horses. It's about the interaction and the kind of symbiosis between people and horses, that relationship. And that can be it can be a really cool thing. It can be a really moving thing at times. So I think that's good. And the other thing is, man, the characters back there. I mean, you know this. The characters on the backside, it's like walking into a Damon Runyon story. And here's Skye Masterson and those guys singing Fugue for Tin Horns. I mean, it's just there's some great characters in racing, and so it's just endless material, endless humor, and people are good humored about that. And so those are things that I say are good. And You know, I used to say this about, I grew up playing ice hockey, and I always said, like, if you get like a 6 or 7 year old boy to a hockey game when they're young, you know, when they're that young, you will have made a hockey fan. And I kind of feel like if you get kids at the right age to the racetrack, you're probably going to make a racing fan.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll have a nicely reference for his Sky Masterson, and we'll do some guys and dolls. I had a really good theater teacher in high school named Bob Riggs, who brought me down with all that stuff. Frank Vespi's here on Saturday doing the racing show. Tell everybody about your business and how to find you and the other 51 weeks of the year. And obviously, you're around here on Saturday as well, and we'll be here on Saturday with a full preview for the Preakness.
Yeah, no, we're excited about that. Looking forward to that. We're planning, among other things, we'll have the Kentucky Derby. One of the owners of Mage, the Kentucky Derby winner, is going to join us. So looking forward to that. But yeah, as you said,
that's
every
my Venezuelan
week,
people there now. Be cool to them right now. You know,
These guys are tremendous. I mean, it's just they've been so generous with time, so accessible, and it's such a cool story. I mean, it's a great story, and I'm having a lot of fun with this one. So
I still see Jack Knowlton every year, and he's got the best stories. But, you know, I mean, there's the winners of these races and being around them for so many years on the back, from the time I saw Charlie Willingham with Ferdinand back there, beautiful chestnut, and, you know, Dwayne Lucas and Nicky Zito, and just the connections to horses. I know why you love it and why you're immersed in it. Baseball was in my bloodlines, not horse racing, and then football. But I've never had a bad day at the track. Honestly,
no, you can't have a bad day at the track. By the way, I knew a little bit Dave Mann, who was one of the funny side guys with Jack Knowlton. And one of the first times I met him, he was saying, you know, talking about Funny Side. I said, I had Funny Side in the Derby. I loved him in the Derby. And his immediate response, and this is a total horse racing thing, was, well, then you must have had the Exacta.
Right, exactly.
So anyway, so you can find us on your station, 10 to 11 Saturdays, off to the races. Also, theracingbiz.com online. We cover Mid-Atlantic racing. So it's Maryland, Virginia, West Virginia, Delaware, New Jersey, PA. So racing all through the Mid-Atlantic. We've got plenty of handicapping. We've got Preakness profiles of every horse. We've got all kinds of coverage going on right now about Maryland racing and all year long about Maryland and throughout the Mid-Atlantic.
Make me want to go watch Guys and Dolls and Technicolor and sing a little bit. But Preakness is here this weekend. John Waite was in. My wife's favorite performer, Bruno Mars, is at the Preakness, which is pulling us to Old Hilltop.
You got to come to Old Hilltop. Yeah.
And then we're going to go see the Bodine Saturday night. We're going to make it a daily double. Nice. There's a little racing for you there.
Yeah, sure.
We will do that you know, it's funny how many idioms that I probably use that are down the stretch they come. either way, Preakness is in town. Frank's here. So many of my racing buddies are dearly departed. And I've mentioned many of them this week in conversations with Marty McGee and Dick Girardi. But we still love you, Old Hilltop and Preakness. Hi ho, Pimlico. All week long, we'll be doing it around here. I am Nestor. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour up in Falston at the local on Tuesday. We have a whole schedule all summer long. We're going to be coming all over the place. Arbutus, Halethorpe, Glen Burnie, Timonium, Hunt Valley, downtown, Fells Point. They're all signed up. The whole schedule is coming after the race this weekend up at WNST. It's also brought to you by our friends at Window Nation. 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. 5 years, 0% financing. Do what I did last summer. Get some new windows. You'll be really happy you did come springtime like I am right now. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Preakness, Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.